This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon, as we've done for many years. During legislative sessions, we like to do periodic check-ins with lawmakers who represent parts of Douglas County, and this is our second one today after talking to State Senator David Brock Smith this morning. State Representative Christine Goodwin joining us from Salem. Thank you for being on today.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
So overall, as things have begun, it's pretty early, but what's your overall take on the session so far?
Well, it's very nice to have the building open again. So there is a lot more activity. The hearing rooms are all open. We're not just doing virtual meetings. People are not, you know, have faces covered with face masks. And so I think it just creates a lot more congenial environment, you know, for discussion and environment and overall just all the big agenda we have before us.
So talk about the committee assignments that you have.
Sure. So I am now vice chair for the GOP in behavioral health and healthcare. So they combine two very large committees into one committee. And, of course, the majority party always has the chair or the gavel of that committee. If it's a very big committee, they also have the vice chair, and then the minority party will have the other vice chair. So we will have, it's a committee that will, right now is at 150 bills, but that will probably grow. Legislators still have priority bills. They have some bills they've already drafted and dropped, but they haven't been given a bill number yet. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
So with those committee assignments and the vice chairmanship, talk about the additional responsibilities you have in that role.
That's a good question. So what my role in the caucus is to make sure my members know what's coming up in healthcare and that I'm briefing them. So we are briefed, of course, before sessions, and all the vice chairs will make sure the other members know what bills are coming down, flag bills that we have great concerns about, because we've been hearing, we've been given the informational meetings and the public hearings, and they have to get through work session, of course, to be voted out of committee to be voted on in the floor. So now we're preparing our members for their votes on the floor.
Now, for the beginning of the session, legislation starts getting introduced pretty early. What bills might you be working on?
So I have a variety of bills. Most of my bills are relating to health care. I knew I had been signaled that I would likely be appointed to this committee, so I'm really working on workforce pipeline, incentives, training, rural care providers, nursing, staffing issues, CCOs. All this week we have been working on, and I had a bill for pharmacy benefit managers. So I have those bills that I'm working rigorously. And then I also have a bill that's become quite popular. A lot of people, bipartisan, have signed on to a minor power labor law. Well, it's the power tools. It's basically expanding the labor law so that 16 and 17-year-olds can use power-driven machinery in certain circumstances, in apprenticeships and student learning circumstances. And it's kind of one of those simple bills that is just long overdue. So I think that will be successful. I'm also working in a state tax repeal. I don't think full repeal will probably get by the Democrats, but there are several other legislators who are working on variations of that. So we're hoping, right now the exemption on the state tax is only $1 million, which really leaves a lot of those families left having to sell farms, ranches, businesses, property in order to pay the tax. And it's not hard to come up with assets, really, overall, with current day inflation. So I would like to see that extended, that exemption extended to at least 3 million. The federal exemption is 12 million. So we'll see where that goes. Several of us working on that. And then I'm also working on two bills that would direct DEQ studies on disposal sites of renewable. Of course, the Democrats are pushing very hard for zero carbon emissions, which is leaving us issues with where are we siting wind farms and solar farms all over the state? Will they end up in our rural areas? And then what about the waste products? So I think we have a lot. Before we make these really big, impactful decisions, I think we need a lot more information. So I think those will probably be heard in environment and natural resources, which, by the way, they divided that natural resources. So now there is there's an ag, water, natural resources committee, and then there's also a climate, energy, natural resources committee. And I could no longer participate because it was in conflict with committee times with health care. So that was a little distressing, but we still have Rep. Osborne on that committee. So he keeps me, and also now Senator David Brock-Smith. So they keep me posted on what's going on in those committees.
I want to explore that estate tax bill. It's interesting because I'm of the age that, you know, for a long time it would be that $1 million was the rich, it was the elite, et cetera. But now, given the, you know, the increase rise of property value over the years, a lot of people find themselves at that level, but living still a very middle class life. And a lot of times that is in real estate, et cetera. So then if you run into a situation in an estate, as you mentioned, folks could find themselves sometimes at a taxation rate where they're going to actually have to get rid of all what has, you know, been worked on by their family members for years to actually sell that to have enough money to pay the taxes on the fact that it's been passed on to them.
Exactly. And that money has already been taxed at least twice. So, yeah, it's just really an unfair tax. But again, that is revenue to the state. And, you know, Democrats are just not at all agreeable to reducing any revenue. So that's the battle. But you're right, a million is just extremely low, and that needs to be bumped up. And as I said, they probably are not going to allow full repeal, but I would like to see that at least, you know, to 3 million. And there's another bill about 5 million. And so there's just different variations. And as you know, bills will work through this process of amendments and, you know, different legislators become involved with the bill. So we'll see what happens with that, you know, what actually lands on the floor.
And as well, the fact that the federal limit is so much higher should perhaps illustrate your argument even more.
Yes. Yeah, I think, it's not unreasonable to say our state should be half of what the federal level is, right, which would be 6 million. So 3 million only takes it to a quarter of that. So, again, I'm a real proponent and have a bill that I'll be working.
Now, what kind of reaction have you gotten, or is it to that point that folks are commenting on that idea?
You know, there hasn't been, because that will really end up being toward the end of session, that's in revenue. So, I'm getting other reps. Rep. Reschke from Klamath Falls is working on that, Rep. Kate from Lebanon. And so they're working those channels. And they just kind of keep me posted. So we're just getting snippets right now. Remember, things are just forming. So informational meetings are happening in committee. Things are just starting to come to public hearing. And then they'll be assigned to work sessions. So our bills are not going to really start flowing out to the floor until early March.
And as well, for you, a transition from one district to the other, has that resulted in some additional work or anything?
Yeah, well, sure, because I'm very comfortable in Douglas County overall, and that was the district I served in. Now I have southern Douglas County, but I've also moved, so my community's moved down to Central Point. And so I have three different counties I'm now working with, and it's really important. I have a great relationship with the Douglas County commissioners because I worked in that office with them, and I want to interact with them, because what we decide in state Salem has a big impact on county and city governments. So I try to really get to know. I was in a meeting in Salem with the Jackson County and Josephine County officials and city government. I really need to know. I'm really making some progress in Central Point, getting to know those folks down there. Of course, I have a little strip of Josephine, which is the Murla, kind of along the I-5, you know, the west side there. And they have Gold Hill and Rogue River. And so, you know, just making progress in those communities, getting to know those folks. You know, we're all very similar demographically, and we're, you know, we have very similar concerns. So representing them in Salem, I think, is consistent with what I've been doing. But it there's still people. You know, I just want to interact with people. I actually send one of my staff. She is a Dave's Creek rancher. She comes to Salem a couple days a week, but then she's in district really participating in events and meetings and things that I can't get to when I'm in Salem. So that's how I try to stay in communication.
We're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Christine Goodwin live from Salem. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. We'll have Umpqua Valley live this afternoon at 4. Umpqua singers will be in live, and we'll be talking about arts, entertainment, and cultural events in the community. Still working on Monday's Inside Douglas County program, but on Tuesday, Peace at Home Advocacy Center Executive Director Melanie Kremer will be with us, and Dr. Jill Weber from Roseburg High School will be on Wednesday's program. Live from Salem, State Representative Christine Goodwin talking about the start of the session, the 2023 session of the Oregon State Legislature. As it begins, a lot of new things, new governor, new House leader, new Senate leader, and overall, I'm curious kind of what the tenor of this session is starting out at.
Well, I think we're starting very congenial and very civil. I mean, we want, personally, I didn't go into Salem just to create enemies. I mean, I'm there. I have to work within the system. I have to find agreement wherever I can to be effective on bills. And there are areas that we can find agreement. You know, I think we have our big areas of disagreement, and we know we'll be facing those. But right now, everybody is really trying to work together and get to know. There's a lot of new faces in the House, 21 new legislators. So lots, in our caucus alone, there's 11 new. And by the way, the GOP, the new legislators, two of them had already been, so they're not really new to the process. They'd already served in the legislature. But we have some new young legislators learning the ropes, and we're all kicking in to help them and figure out how we navigate the building.
So what are you hearing from the new governor so far?
Well, she's just made, of course, in our inaugural day where we are all sworn in, and she did a pretty brief address to us. She, the only thing that she really came out strong in any absolutes, there was a lot of kind of same campaign, if you will, kind of conversation, but she did come out with this big price tag of $130 million for 1,200 homeless. So she's got supposedly a plan, but nobody really knows the details. However, we will next week. So the governor will be revealing her budget. She was, because she's newly elected, was allowed a little more time, and so she's supposed to have that out by February 1st. And that's really her wish list. That doesn't mean that's the way it's going to roll out. There's a lot of process there, but she will give us her wish list.
And have you had an opportunity to interact with her personally so far?
No, but she will be joining our caucus next week. So, yeah, I will have that will be nice to have one-on-one time with her.
Now, in the House, of course, with Tina Kotek moving to the governor's office, you've got a new House leader and a newer Republican leader as well.
Right, and Speaker Rayfield is quite a different person entirely than Speaker Kotek was. You could say he leans a little more moderate as a Democrat. He still has to wrestle with his hardcore left, those Portland folks. And so it's kind of interesting to watch him have to manage that tension. He is much more of a fiscal, he's much more of a, he's not as big in the policy area as he is the fiscal area. So a little bit more of a fiscal wonk. But overall, really, a really nice man. He works very pleasant. He made sure he met with each of us. I got a personal phone call and interaction with him as he was determining committee, because he appoints the committees, and he wanted to talk to me about health care. And so, you know, we had a really nice conversation.
What about the GOP House priorities? What kinds of things is your group working on in particular?
Well, we are always, of course, very a top thing for us is fiscal responsibility and just watching the increases in growth of government. And there is a constant drumbeat of more taxes. So we are just pushing back against that all the time. We are now in a simple minority, so we're not a super minority. So there needs to be 3/5 votes to pass a tax legislation. So if we hang together pretty tough, which I think we will, because fiscal responsibility is a top priority, so we should be able to really stop big tax bills. We are, as everyone in the state, we're very focused on housing. You know, we are way behind in housing starts in this state. 580,000 units need to be built by 2040. I mean, we dropped behind 140,000 units in the last 3 years. So just to keep up with the demand in the state, we need to build like 25,000 units. And we've got real problems, right? We're like the second worst state in underproduction, and yet we're the ninth worst for price. So we have a very expensive state to live in. Now it's costing people 30% of their household income for rent or mortgages. And, you know, 90,000 is our median income in this state. And that means that they can afford a $400,000 home. And with inflation, it's getting more up to be like a $360,000 home. And we have all these land restrictions. I mean, look at us down here. We have huge swaths. We've carved out forest lands and resource lands. And then on top of that, we have zoning restrictions, and which creates a shortage of supply. And yet we have this high demand. We have a lot of regulation, and permitting, lots of red tape. And it has just brought housing. So that's the big conversation. And then now with housing, we have to make sure we have the infrastructure to support that. We have to be able to encourage developers to build. Because right now, they can't build without losing money. So these are big problems. And our caucus is very involved with that. Of course, protecting our natural resource economy. That is huge. There's some big things coming down in climate. There's a House bill right now that we're fighting that would basically tax, it would be these energy producers, those people who are considered the big energy users, would have to reduce their energy by 60%, their carbon emission by 60%, report that in 2027, and then it goes, they just keep taking it incrementally until it would be zero carbon emissions, would be devastating to our rural communities, because, of course, we all know that solar and wind renewables are not going to drive our diesel equipment, so, or our mills or our manufacturing. I mean, they've, you know, we're just a party that is much more about innovation in energy and appropriate applications of energy, we're much more inclined, let's open it up and look at all our sources and not eliminate. So what we're doing is just eliminating so much energy option that we're just like we're throwing out plan A and we don't really have a plan B. So we're going to be keeping a real close eye on that. And, of course, we're always about creating job opportunities in this state. And we have – Oregon's not a very business-friendly state. The CAT tax is atrocious, and yet we're not able to get the Democrats to move away from that because that's creating $25 million a year. But the CAT tax, for people don't know – it is a tax on your gross receipts. So an example, I've been fighting on these to maintain our local pharmacies. They are losing money like crazy. And so that money that you pay at a pharmacy, of course, is not what they're being reimbursed. They can actually may cost them money to provide that prescription for you.
All right, we're going to have to stop it there. We're out of time, but we'll come back to it. Another conversation soon from Salem, State Representative Christine Goodwin. Thanks for being on.
Okay, you're welcome, Kyle. Bye-bye.
12:57, by the way, we'll talk with State Representative Virgil Osborne Tuesday morning as we continue to connect with lawmakers during the 2023 session of the Oregon State Legislature.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.